Now, here's your host, Rick Hamada.
Dick Wainwright, thank you so very much, and you're dialed into this edition of Talk Story, and today it's a delight to welcome Governor Linda Lingle in studio for our discussion today. And Governor, it's good to see you. Good morning.
Good morning, Rick. Aloha. It's great to be here, and it's exciting down at the state capitol today. As I was driving by on my way to the station, I can see everyone starting to get ready for the big robotics event today. Mm-hmm. It's going to run from 10:30 until noon. And this is the first time that all six robotics programs that are operating in different schools across the state have come together. And it's the kickoff for a group called ROC, R-O-C, Robotics Organizing Committee. Mm-hmm. And this is a private sector effort in partnership with these various programs, in partnership with us, to create a sustainable flow of money for these kids and these teachers and mentors to have these programs continue on in all the schools. And, of course, our goal is that every student in every school has the opportunity to be a part of robotics. We're now at about 43% of all of the schools in the state, and we want to be at 100%. But there's going to be a lot of excitement today down at the rotunda. Mm-hmm. All you have to do is walk up, and you'll have all the information you need about robotics in your school or how to get started if it's not already there. But you'll get to see up to 30 different programs in operation, and the kids are excited, and they'll have their robots down there. So bring your children down. It's going to be a fun time.
Great idea. And exactly what time should folks start coming down?
Well, it starts at 10:30, and it's until 12 o'clock. It's free and open to the public, and I'll be down there as well.
It is an amazing thing. Now, I have not had the opportunity to see it live, but I did go online, and there's wonderful video coverage of the robotics competition itself, and this was filmed at Stan Sheriff. I was absolutely blown away. When I think of robotics, I think of some cerebral, analytical, engineering type of thing. This was like a rock concert.
It's wild, isn't it, Rick?
Absolutely, yeah. Absolutely nuts. And the bottom line is that you can see the excitement and everything that's coursing through the crowd, especially the kids.
Yeah, one of the teachers out at Nanakuli High School was talking about the difficulty he had getting the program up and running because people said, oh, the kids out here, they're not going to be able to compete in this. And he's a math teacher. He decided, no, I'm going to mentor these kids. And I tell you, Rick, they had such a great time, and the kids all said, you know, we never thought about going to college before, but this stuff is fun, and we like it. And as the founder of First Robotics, Dean Kamen, will always say, it's the hardest fun you'll ever have.
The hardest fun.
The hardest fun. And what we tell the kids is, you think playing video games is fun? We want you to invent video mm-hmm. games that mm-hmm. others will play. You think these online games are kind of neat? Why don't you come up with your own?
Sure.
And that's what's at the root of robotics is perhaps you'll go into medicine the way Dean Kamen does. He's working right now for the federal government, Rick. He's inventing an arm for any of our soldiers who lose a limb mm-hmm. In the war. And it's not like you think of a prosthetic previously. I mean, this one has 18 different movements and can pick up a grape, can tell the difference between a raisin and a grape. And he mm-hmm. showed a video to the kids at the Stan Sheriff at the event you mentioned. And unlike the wild time that you watched in the DVD, these kids, you could have heard a pin drop. And there were 2,000 people in the audience that day, Rick. And I can tell you, later on, as some of these students go on to invent great things that help mankind, they're going to remember the day they sat there and watched Dean talk about why he does this mm-hmm. because of our ability to help people to change the world, to come up with a way to provide clean drinking water all over the world, way to grow crops that can feed the world. And these young people are very idealistic, so we do talk with them about what these skills enable them to do, to be a part of the solutions that mm-hmm. the world needs. And I tell them, look, at my age, I'm not going to invent these things, but you have the ability to do right. it. And to do it, again, we want them to have fun, and I think that's what attracts them. But it is tough. I mean, they work together. They work day and night during the robotics season to get their robots ready. I can tell you, it is an unbelievable program in attracting young people to science and engineering who never would have, in their wildest dreams, thought of going into that field.
And I think that you hit it right on the head. It's skills. It's the development of skills. And in the pursuit of an accomplishment, you go through the different processes which will enable them to capitalize on their knowledge and hands-on experience with concepts that many of us probably don't even understand, even though we're much older than these kids. I mean, we're talking about physics and chemistry and all of these, you know, structural engineering. These are concepts that these kids are being exposed to at such an early age.
It's amazing. Right. One of the leaders of the Bot Ball, which is another form of robotics, he told me, he's from the mainland, I think from the Midwest somewhere, he's a professor, and he told me that the things these intermediate school students are doing, his college students weren't doing 10 years ago. It's been that pushed down to the younger kids. But what I tell the parents and the teachers is that we're not expecting that all these students will grow up to design robots, although some of them might, but it's teaching them how to work together as a team to solve a difficult problem. Instead of being intimidated when they run into a problem, is to be excited by the opportunity to solve it.
Right.
And that goes across all lines, Rick, the ability to think creatively, to work cooperatively as a team. And so those are the skills also that are being taught through this program. The other thing people often think is, oh, this is just for the smart kids. Oh, this is for the AP kids, the kids who are already going to do well. And as you saw when you said you went online, this is for any kind of kid from any school, and that's another neat thing about it. There's no requirement that you be taking some AP course or get a certain grade or take physics or anything like that. Anybody can come and join one of these teams.
I just want to make a quick parallel, and correct me if I'm incorrect in this. This was some of the premise behind the Sea Rider production out on the Waianae Coast as well, is that it was an idea that seemed to be out of the box, so to speak, and it has now turned to be, become to be such a nurturing part of that community and for the state at large. I see that parallel here as well. And what's fascinating to me, Governor, is just how well our kids perform in this arena, competing against other schools in other states. Our kids here do remarkably well.
Well, I just had this conversation last night with some young people, Rick, about the people from Hawaii who have gone on to do great things. I mean, some of the obvious ones, we had Brian Clay in athletics on the front page of the paper the other day, but you have Steve Case, of course, in AOL. You have Sea Rider competing in high school. We have these robotics kids went to Japan in the micro robots and competed against university teams. I mean, we have young people doing great things all over the state. And the Sea Rider Productions is a fascinating one because it's located out in an area, again, where people had an image of low achievement levels. And yet when you found something that the young people could relate to, they could be very focused and very successful. And we're going to combine the two of these in what we have called the Creative Academies. You know, we started these STEM academies in the schools. This year we're rolling out the Creative Academies, and it's a joint venture between our Creative Industries Division in DBED, Kapi'olani Community College, the University of Hawaii, and the Department of Education. So you're going to hear a lot more about those. If you can get Georgia Skinner to come on the program, she heads up the Creative Industries. She could talk to you in great detail about the vision of these Creative Academies, again, because we recognize young people get excited about different things, but one thing is clear, Rick, you cannot teach the way we were taught, which is sit in a classroom, sit down, put your eyes on the board, don't look at your neighbor's paper, read chapter 14 tonight. It's not going to work because the kids are so advanced and exposed to electronic sharing of information that you've got to engage them. Yes, eventually you have to get to the textbook type, you have to absorb certain facts. But if they are not interested in the beginning, it's very difficult to get them over that hump. But you know, you have children.
As you're talking, I'm thinking of our own kids. And what captures our son's imagination is what he excels in. And he does extremely well. But it's because of that excitement. It's because of that level of interest that opens up the pathways for him to learn. So wonderful. Tell us again where and what time today.
Well, everybody's welcome, open to the public and free at 10:30 a.m. this morning. It'll go from 10:30 to noon in the State Capitol Rotunda, up to 30 different robotics teams in six different categories, Rick. We have the First Robotics, which is high school, First Lego League, which is more for the intermediate. We have Bot Ball, which is a tabletop robotics, Vex Robotics, Underwater Robotics, and the Micro, the very tiny robotics. It's a lot to see, and I'll be there. Lieutenant Governor will be there. 10:30 till noon in the Capitol Rotunda.
Fantastic opportunity, folks. We'll be back with Governor Linda Lingle for this edition of Talk Story. I certainly hope that you will join us. 23 past the hour. Thank you for joining us, Governor Linda Lingle, with our edition of Talk Story. We have many topics on our list today, but we want to make sure that we take your calls right out of the box. And if you'd like to chat with Governor Linda Lingle, 521-8383, 1-888-565-8383. In Waikiki, we start off with Ted.
Hey,
thanks for the call. Good morning.
How are you, Governor?
Hi, Ted. Good morning. I'm doing well, thanks.
I wonder, in fact, it was apropos, you just played the commercial for that rail ripoff that's trying to be jammed down our throats. Could you tell us what department in the whatever part of government, state or city, county, or what individual, give us a name of who is railroading this or trying to railroad it? I mean, KHVH should know because they're getting paid for those commercials. Who's paying for it? I mean, besides us taxpayers, who's doing it?
Right. Thank you very much for the question. I mean, I can feel the question as far as that. I mean, you'll have to call our general manager or our sales manager. I don't know the source of the cash or the revenue, but yes, they are buying a schedule on our station and many stations all throughout the state. So if you have a specific question about that, I encourage you to call our studio or our office at 550-9200. And Governor?
Well, it's a city project, Ted, and you'd need to call someone from the city government for any information. I will say that I've been paying a little bit of attention in the last few days since last week when there was an ad run, a print ad run, in one of the newspapers. At least I saw it in one of the papers, and it said, it implied that the governor and all the legislature and we're all going forward with this project. But I've never taken a public position on the project. I feel the way that Governor Cayetano does, who expressed himself so well in an editorial this week, which is we need to tone down the volume on the personal attacks going back and forth on both sides and really offer the public some objective information about rail. When I faced this issue a few years ago about giving the counties the authority to raise their excise tax in order to pay for a system of their choosing, I felt very strongly about it being a local decision, but it also is going to impact each of us individually. And while we continue to have discussions or cooperate with the city when they talk to about where they think they'd like the line to go and so on, and we're definitely a part of those discussions, no one in my administration has ever taken a public position on it. So to say in an ad that we're all moving forward on it, including the governor and so on, I thought was misleading. And I think they need to, again, pull back on the rhetoric and offer some good, objective, third-party analysis. And perhaps the legislature will call for that this year as they start to recognize that if a project of this magnitude does not succeed, likely the financial burden will fall to the state lawmakers, and they'll need to come in and start to rescue a project like this. But I think it's become especially important in the last few days, last few months, as people are looking at the economy and they're concerned about the cost of living, that more and more questions are coming up. And then, of course, last night, one of the fellows who's a professor up at the university who has been an opponent of rail and he has his own ideas, he's declared that he's going to run for mayor. So that will help to some degree, but even that, Rick, you know, during a campaign, you basically get sound bites and advertisements on both sides or a debate one night on a television. And I really think what the public needs is more objective, third-party kind of information, because as the governor pointed out in his editorial, you have consultants that are paid millions of dollars, potentially hundreds of millions of dollars, and they're the ones supplying the information to us and to the city. So I'd like to see everybody just sort of pull back from the emotion of it and just focus on the facts and the details of the project. It's very big. It's an important project to all of us. But I think, again, even in a campaign, while I'm glad there's an opponent for the mayor, I think that's an important part of democracy. And While I think this will obviously be a big issue, I know the mayor has criticized his now opponent in saying he's a one-issue person. Well, that may be true, but it's one very big issue. And I think it concerns a lot of people, both those who would benefit from this out on the leeward side of the island in particular, coming in along the route, and those areas like Windward and East Honolulu, Mililani, who would not be helped at all by this project. And everyone has concerns about it. The cost of energy is an issue now. I don't even know, Rick, maybe you know, what is the energy source if it's an electric system?
It would be.
How is the electricity generated?
It would be either an
expansion
from burning oil and secondary energy source from H-Power. And ECO has chimed in to say that they do have the capacity to power this project when it's up and running. But there is obviously a cost with it. So,
but it's not a separate renewable source of energy that's going to be allocated.
As of right now, to my knowledge, not dedicated to this particular project, right?
Well, again, anyway, I thought if you didn't see Governor Cayetano's piece yesterday, I forgot which paper it was in, but it was a well thought out and well written piece, I thought.
Yeah, I agree with you 100%. We talked about it a little bit yesterday. Thanks for the call, Ted, very much. For our statewide audience, if you'd like to join us, 1-888-565-8383. Economy is top of mind, pardon me, and we'll chat with the governor about that, but also the issue regarding drug testing of teachers and also contractual components of that discussion. We'll address that. And Senator Dan Inouye urging unions not to strike in a speech at the Chamber of Commerce luncheon yesterday. Interesting statement to make at a chamber luncheon. We'll get some insight from Governor Linda Lingle, who is with us for this edition of Talk Story. We'll resume after our bottom of the hour break. 36 past the hour, our statewide broadcast continues. It's a delight to be with you here on our network of stations throughout the 50th state. Governor Linda Lingle joining us. We started our hour talking about a wonderful presentation at the state capitol in regard to robotics and also the robotics competition and the invitation, Governor, for those who may just be joining us. It's going to be a big day at the capitol.
It's free and open to the public from 10:30 a.m. until noon. You'll see six different types of student robotics going on from 30 different schools. It's going to be so exciting. Bring your children down. Talk with people about how to get the program in your school if you don't already have it, or how to sign up if you do have it. But please come down and join us. I'll be there. Lieutenant Governor will be there. And the people from the private sector who are a part of a new group called ROC, R-O-C, Robotics Organizing Committee, and they're putting on this event today. So please come join us.
Excellent. Excellent indeed. Top of mind issues, always something we'd love to chat with you about. I don't think many people listening now do not have economic issues at the top of mind. I know that we've just completed a fiscal year, and I know that budgets and projections are swirling about. Can you help us understand where we are today and your take on our economy?
Well, we do have the dual issue, Rick, of the state of the state budget, the fiscal condition of the state, and clearly our revenues are going to slow down over these next 2 to 3 years. The Council on Revenues has projected that over the six-year planning cycle, which we are bound to use by law, we'll have $1.7 billion less than they predicted a year ago. A lot of that is driven by the visitor industry, the drop-off because of the fewer seats, fewer flights, the higher price of buying a ticket because of the higher price of jet fuel. So it's all coming together to have an impact on the state's number one industry. And it highlights and underscores why it's so important to diversify the economy. You hate to have it highlighted in this fashion because there is individual hardship, but it does give us an opportunity to stress why we need to have these improvements in the school system and why we need to invest in the energy transformation in the state away from burning oil and toward a renewable and a clean future for the state, because these will all be economic drivers in the years ahead, Rick. So while in the short term the state government will need to get more creative, we'll need to cut unnecessary expenses, we will also need to focus a heightened effort on getting our capital improvement projects done. These are the construction projects that the state does throughout the year. It's schools and the university buildings, our harbors, our airports, our roads. These are projects that we are pressing our departments to move up, to get online even faster than we had planned, because the construction projects serve as a counter-cyclical measure to a reduced construction in the private sector. This enables us to create more jobs, stimulate the economy. So while we're cutting back on unnecessary operating expenses, we are forcefully moving our departments forward on their construction projects. It'll make a big difference. So for the next couple of years, it's going to be tighter in the state budget, but it's an exciting time because it really brings out the creativity in people, the imagination, how to achieve our goals without having as many dollars. And as our budget director said the other day, this is the time when real leaders emerge. And that's so true. It's true in the private sector, and it's very true in government, whether people sit around complaining about it or they come up with innovative solutions. And right. The people on our team tend to be the innovative types anyway. They tend to be very results and goal-driven, results-oriented. So that's what I see ahead on the budget side, Rick. On the broader economy in the state, again, the price of oil is driving a lot of the challenges that we're facing today, and it's going to continue to do so. So what can we do about it is, again, make this transformation away from our overdependence on imported oil. Our state is the most oil-dependent state in America, and we use the oil for two reasons. One is to generate our electricity, or two main reasons, generate electricity and to power our vehicles. And so we need to attack it on both sides. We've focused a lot of attention on the electricity side, and I signed three bills into law yesterday to make it easier to site renewable energy projects, to create a specific position in government to facilitate investment in renewable energy. You'll have a point person to go to, and they will get you through the government maze of permits and how to get these things going quicker. So those are important. We also, I signed a bill yesterday to allow loans to agricultural companies for renewable projects that help them to be more viable. And this is a revolving loan program. We had a great guy from the Big Island, Richard Ha, who's a farmer there, talk about how he has these streams running through his property. And as you know, Hilo gets 140 inches of rain a year. And if he could put in a small hydro plant, he would borrow the water to turn the turbine and then put the water back into the system through the flume that exists on his property. But it would cut his electric bill, which has risen from $9,000 to $15,000 a month. It would allow him then to use the money he saves in electricity for other expansion. He has 80 employees on his farm there in Hamakua. So it's a fascinating ability for him to make a transformation away from electricity that's generated from burning oil. So we need to do those things now, Rick. Oil is going to continue to be an issue in the years ahead, and there's no state that is as reliant as we are. So we've talked about it on the electricity side, but on the vehicle side, which is actually where a majority of the oil is used after it's refined into gasoline, we need to find some solutions there. And we've been working with a project called Project Better Place. If you go online, you can read up on them. They've signed an agreement with the Nation of Israel. Mm-hmm. They've signed another one with Denmark, and they have been talking with us here. We've been doing our due diligence with them. We've met with them internally with our Department of Economic Development. But then we also had a meeting, Rick, that included the Hawaii Auto Dealers, HECO. We brought in professors, engineering professors from the University of Hawaii to look at this proposal and see if it makes sense for our state. But clearly the reason they want to come to Hawaii, especially on the island of Oahu, is because you don't have to worry, can someone go plug in the neighboring state when they drive across state lines? It's not an issue here. And so you can see by the countries they're going to, Israel, Denmark, coming to the state of Hawaii, they need a place where people's average commute isn't very big, and that's true for us as well. So it's not like you're in Texas or Montana and you drive these huge distances. So electric vehicles, I think, will be a part of the mix, whether it's this particular project, Better Place, or some other, because there are many others right now working on the electric vehicle from a number of different perspectives. But we're out every day, Rick, focused on this issue. It's not going to go away. It's not just an issue for this year. It is a major transformation of how we power our cars and how we generate electricity.
My familiarity with A Better Place is derived from conversations that I've heard and discussions with RFK Jr., who is a strong proponent and working as an advocate for the organization. And the concept, from my understanding, is that Israel did sign an agreement that they would transition away from quote-unquote fossil fuel-burning vehicles and commit to an all-electric vehicle society. And it's interesting to hear how that transition will take place and ultimately what the impact is going to be to Israel. It's that, to me, that was a profound statement to make, that an entire nation has signed off.
That they would do it within 5 years,
within
Rick,
5 years.
And no direct government spending. So what they did was commit to change a variety of policies, which would be the approach that we would take as well, where you say, in Israel's case, they basically said, we're going to create large tariffs on cars that are not electric, that are going to be sold in the country. Here you could do things like require certain, you know, whether you start with the rental fleets, for instance, if you want to rent cars in Hawaii, they're going to need to be of the electric variety, at least hybrids to get started. But it is an interesting concept. And the one thing is clear. We cannot keep doing what we're doing. We simply can't. We can't survive economically if we don't make this transformation on two fronts. One, away from an over-reliance on oil, and secondly, from an over-reliance on land development. Because the picture that you would paint if it's business as usual is not a positive picture for us. And that's why this focus on change. And one of the points I made yesterday when signing these new bills, Rick, is that there is no perfect alternative. So if you talk about wind, people will tell you, well, I don't like the looks of the wind turbines. You know, aesthetically, it's offensive. Some people think actually they're quite beautiful, but some people feel aesthetically they're not great. Talk about biofuels. Well, then you get into where did the material come from for the biofuels? Where did the oil come from or the plant material come from? Did it come from cutting forests? Well, then you'll talk about solar, and there'll be, you know, I signed that solar bill, mandatory right. solar on residences, and you had the building industry had some issues with it. What I tell people is there is no perfect solution to the fuel that we're going to use to power our cars or power our electrical grid. But one point is clear. Oil is the worst possible resource to be using for your cars and for your electric plants. And the reason that's true is because in our state, Rick, all the oil we use, 99% comes from foreign countries. So it makes us very insecure and reliant on other countries who may decide at any time they don't want to sell any more oil to the state of Hawaii. So indigenous renewable resources are much better on that score. Oil is polluting to the environment. Everybody knows that that's true. And the price of oil is being manipulated either through people investing in futures in oil and or people manipulating through OPEC, those who control a big part of the oil in the world. But regardless of what your opinion is on those issues, the facts are clear that the price of oil is continuing to rise. It's going to be highly volatile. It's dirty and polluting to the environment, and it makes us insecure because it comes from foreign countries. Renewable sources, not one of them is perfect. And not one piece of legislation in this area of energy transformation is perfect, but we can't wait around until we find the perfect solution. I don't think there is a perfect solution, but I know one thing, we simply can't sit around and wait.
We're going to take our break, and again, apologies to the Neighbor Island stations, a few minutes behind, but compelling information from Governor Linda Lingle. Let's get caught up. A few minutes remaining with Governor Linda Lingle in our conversation on this edition of Talk Story. We've invited the governor to stay with us for three more hours today. I think we're going to need that amount. Let's go to Bob out in Kailua. Back to our phones for the rest of the hour.
Hello,
Bob,
Rick.
Bob in Kailua, welcome to the program.
No, Rick, this is George Hawaii Kai.
George Hawaii Kai, welcome to the
program.
Well,
thank you. Anyway, listen, if you keep the governor an extra 3 hours, you'll miss the robot contest.
Hi, George.
That's exactly right.
So you got to get her to that. Governor, you've had to cut 12% off of the nonprofits. That must have been a pretty hard thing to do.
Well, that was off of the group of nonprofits, Rick, that gets TANF funds. And it was a sad thing to do because there was no reason for it. The legislature made a decision we thought was a poor decision, especially at this time. they wouldn't let our Human Services Department use the federal TANF funds. And they said the reason was they wanted us to build up a bigger reserve. But this is money we get every year from the federal government. And the purpose is to keep people from falling into poverty. And
so yes, Governor, I was very sad to see that. One other thing, you mentioned biofuels and wind and solar, but you forgot to mention geothermal. Is geothermal off the table?
I don't think it should be off the table, George. I think you're making a very important point here, and especially on the Big Island. Obviously, Rick, right now geothermal is providing about 30% of the power on that island. The capacity is much larger. As you know, there are some cultural sensitivity issues as well as some technology issues of getting that power to the main population center here on Oahu. And whether it's geothermal or the product that the project that David Murdoch is proposing on Lana'i, which is wind, and First Wind is also proposing a big project like that on Molokai, there would have to be an undersea cable to Oahu in order to get the power here, at least based on current technology. The only way to get it here that the scientists know of is through this cable. The Big Island is so far away, the ocean is so deep, and even though it's been researched, that has been a challenge. But certainly geothermal can produce more than it is right now, even on the Big Island. So, no, I don't think it should be off the table, George.
George, thank you very much for the call, and we will go to Bob in Kailua. Bob, welcome.
Good morning, Governor. Good morning, Papa. How you doing
Good
today?
Morning, sir.
Hi, Bob.
How you doing? I don't want to talk about rail because my blood pressure goes up, but I'm glad Dr. Prevadoris is in the mix, a good alternative. We were briefed recently by an executive, my Rotary Club, by an executive from Hawaiian Electric, and one of the questions was raised was nuclear energy. And he said, well, current plans that are in place in America today are just too big for this island. But there is on the drawing board a downsized nuclear reactor, which could be sized to this island and obviously obviate the need for oil. And I'm curious if you and your administration would support such an initiative.
Thank you, Bob, very much. We're almost at the top of the hour.
Well, Bob, we're trying to keep open-minded. And as we tell people, you know, there are clearly some little nuclear plants. We call them submarines out at Pearl Harbor. Mm-hmm. So we do have nuclear power. We have an experience when Iniki hit Kauai and the power was down completely of a submarine going over and powering up the island of Kauai. So we understand the capability. I think there are some environmental issues. There are some technical issues that people need to deal with. But from my perspective, our security as a nation and as a state is so paramount. I don't think anything should be taken off the table. So, you know, I'd be open to look at anybody who had an idea who felt it would be good for the state. Obviously, the public has changed its mind on the drilling issue nationally. All the polls are showing that when gasoline went over $4 in the mainland, they start to feel that, all right, we have to have a wider range of alternatives than if gas was at $2 a gallon. Mm-hmm. And I expect that's what will happen in the country on the nuclear issue as well. It's just that people are fearful of nuclear because they don't know much about it. It's a technical kind of an issue, but we know the potential downside if something goes very wrong. In France and Japan, most of their energy is coming from nuclear, so we know it can be utilized. But I'm going to try to stay open-minded about everything and keep people focused on the fact that we do have to transform away from oil.
On that note, it's been a great conversation as always, Governor.
Thanks, Rick. Aloha.
Thank you so very much. We'll see Governor Linda Lingle soon. We'll see you at the state capitol later on this morning, 10:30 a.m., for the robotics presentation. I hope you'll be there. Thanks so much for joining us.